Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey people, it's 2017. Happy New Year to you and swig of water for another year of the Unleashed Podcast. Water because I know y'all are trying to start the new year living a healthier life. And I'm here to help you achieve that New Year's resolution, along with a little help from naturebox.com/Austin. NatureBox is going to help you get your snacking back on track in the new year. I know you've been surrounded by junk food. So have I. Cookies, candy, other sweets during the holidays, but now you can snack better with Nature Box. Nature Box makes snacks that actually taste great and are better for you. They're made with high quality ingredients that don't have any artificial flavors or sweeteners or colors. And they got something for everyone. They got snacks like sweet and spicy buffalo popcorn, Irish stout peanuts, and chocolate hazelnut granola. And Nature Box recently improved their service. Now you can order as much as you want, as often as you want, with no minimum purchase required. And you can cancel anytime. So go to naturebox.com and check out their snack catalog. There are over 100 snacks to choose from, and they're always adding new snacks too. Just choose the ones you like, and they'll deliver them right to your door. And if you ever try a snack that you don't like, Nature Box will replace it for free. And right now, you'll save even more. Nature Box is offering 50% off your first order when you go to naturebox.com/Austin. That's naturebox.com/Austin for 50% off your first order. naturebox.com/Austin. Y'all know how much I appreciate you listening to this podcast twice a week, and that's why we've created a new automated email system to make sure you never miss a single episode. Just go to podcastone.com/Steve Austin and sign up. We'll let you know exactly when a new show is out and who the guest is. So sign up now at podcastone.com/Steve Austin. That's podcastone.com/Steve Austin.
The following program is a podcastone.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is the Steve Austin Show. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I'm coming to you from the Broken Skull Ranch way out here in South Texas. I'm about to hand my wife the microphone. Morning, Kristen. How are you?
You always ask me that. It's just so strange.
Yeah, I know, but I've been on the road this morning. I got up early this morning. I got in my wife's SUV. I wanted to take my pickup truck, but she made me drive the SUV, and I hauled ass to Beeville, Texas. Beeville is an hour and 9 minutes away, hauling ass, and running radar, sometimes hitting triple digits.
And you made it in 45.
Yeah, I hauled ass. I met my nephew, Neil, who went down to Country Slaughter, our butcher shop that we use over in Victoria, Texas, to put our deer sausages together. And I wanted to take my pickup truck, and Neil brought his pickup truck, and that thing was loaded to the gills with coolers and just deer meat, bags of sausage and hamburger meat, loaded to the gills. And I looked in the back of that SUV, and I'm thinking, God damn, we gonna be able to get all this shit in there? So we stopped at the Sonic, and I got a jalapeno burger with cheese, and he got some kind of bogus sandwich, and we had lunch together, me and O'Neal. Aww. And we just shot the breeze for a little bit. He got the new wheels put on his pickup truck.
Oh.
He's styling and profiling, and it looks good. And so then we started throwing all that shit inside the BMW X5 that I was driving. And the other day, when Shannon Tracy came out from UV country over in Alvin, Texas, to bring out Buck the Mule, I said, hey, man, I know y'all sell those Yeti coolers. Bring me one, and I'll just pay you for it. So she brought me one of those 105-quart coolers. God damn it, Kristen. That son of a bitch is heavier than fuck.
Yeah, it is. We need a dolly for it.
It needs to come on a dolly. I'll tell you what, those things, I think that thing's good for, like, if you got a base camp or something like that, those walls are so thick, their performance is legendary. But moving those fuckers around, you think it's loaded up.
Why don't you put some wheels on it?
I might take it down and just get some wheels put on it. I might put a motor on the son of a bitch.
Why don't you put Neely's old tires on there?
Yeah. God damn, I said, son of a bitch. Yeah, anyway, so when we get on that airplane, we got all our luggage, but then we're going to take back one of the coolers full of deer sausages, and that thing's going to weigh about an extra 100 pounds, so we got to tell the pilots to put that on our weight thing. We don't run out of fuel. I was just in there. I was just saying, before I redid the open, I was like, 2016 wasn't that great of a year for us.
It wasn't horrible, but it wasn't that – it started off challenging. It was a challenge.
Yeah. Not to go into personal detail. Not even personal with me and my wife. Some relatives and stuff like that had some hard times. But everything.
Shona
passed away, and we had to we had to put her down. That was a real that crushed us really.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we kind of got through 2016 and 2017 fired up, and Kristen made a big batch of black-eyed peas. Kristen, what is the tradition, or what is the old lore, or how did eating black-eyed peas on New Year's Day come about to give you good luck for the year? Is it a wives' tale, or what is it?
I think each culture has their own way of celebrating New Year's and wishing yourself good luck. Like, I think in the certain cultures, they eat noodles for good luck. I don't know. I don't know anything about the black-eyed peas. I just make them every year.
But how long have you been doing that? Because my family, the Williams family, has been doing that and shit ever since I know my mom. So we've been doing it for 52 years. Well, you and me split off, and I've been out on my own. But was your family doing it?
My mom does it, yeah, because she's from Arkansas.
Yep, from the South.
Yeah.
So we've both been doing it. So I ate a shit pile of them the other day, so I'm hoping we'll get real lucky in 2017. I get all these emails. People want to send me $7 million or $13 million. And they're always from Farina Bursa or Burka from all these foreign countries for me to take into their trust because they're in harm's way.
Right.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's a scam. They're fishing. I always keep thinking, when the lottery or the lotto, whatever you call it, gets to be like 200 million, 400 million every now and then, like once a year, I go buy a lotto card and I figure, you know what? It's so random. I got to automatically win this. Maybe it's the Lord's will that I win this. And of course, I never win. Goddamn, if I won $400 million, you always hear about those people that do that and they just blow through their money and they end up worse coming out of it after winning $400 million.
I don't know how anybody could spend that kind of money.
No shit. And if you did, just take a chill pill and just relax.
Right.
Take care of a couple of relatives and just chill. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm not going to lie to you. If I won $400 million, it'd really kill my work ethic. I mean, I'd still do my podcast, fuck around and entertain people because that's what I'm here for, just for entertainment. And I love doing my podcast. But goddamn, I'd be going hunting. I would spend it all on a bunch of cars and shit like that. I would get you a 1965 Ford Mustang Fastback because that's your dream car.
Yes, it is.
What color?
Midnight blue.
Midnight blue, automatic or?
Automatic.
Okay.
Air conditioning.
Air conditioning. Okay.
My just favorite like the one I had.
My favorite Ford would be the 67 or 68, the old bullet car Steve McQueen drove.
Oh, yeah.
And because the pony cars were just a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, to talk about cars. Hey, let's talk about our trip. We're leaving on Saturday. We got a bunch of people coming in. They're going to do some bird hunting over here. I think that's exciting. No bird hunting until I get the fuck out of here. But
are you
looking forward to getting back to L.A.?
Yes, I am.
You know what? I am, too. And that's hard for me to say because I love it out here. But we've just been out here for so long, and it's because, man, we're redlining the whole time.
Well, we have the two extremes. We have Los Angeles where it's hustle and bustle, and you come out here and it's the complete opposite of that. So it's like we need something in the middle.
Well, but the thing is, you got the hustle and bustle of L.A., all the traffic, the bullshit, the sirens, the ambulances, just the helicopters flying overhead, the stuff that I hate. It's just so much noise.
It is a lot of noise.
And then you come out here, it's just peaceful, quiet. But what I mean down here is because we're always out here trying to play catch up.
Yeah.
And we never can. Right now, we just got caught up.
And now we're packing up and cleaning.
Yeah, and now that we caught up, it's time to go.
Yeah.
And we took our last deer, so all the deer are processed. And now still got some work to do, but, this is just kind of tidy up work. And so now we just kind of clean up, strip everything down, clean up all the equipment, power wash everything, leave this place spick and span. So for the next time we come.
So the rats have something clean to play in.
Yeah. So the rats got a clean playpen. But it's a different kind of hustle and bustle. It's a hustle and bustle doing ranch work in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
But I tell you what. I just miss being able to go a half mile to the grocery store. I do, you know, fuck, I haven't converted to being a whole city slicker. I've been in Los Angeles for 12 years. But it is nice, like, when we go eat sushi, because we like to eat sushi once a week.
Yeah.
Out here, you don't eat no fucking sushi unless you want to go catch a catfish and eat him raw out the goddamn pond. That's about the closest you're going to get to sushi.
Well, maybe I need to learn to make sushi out here with catfish.
Well, I don't think I'll be eating it. But I tell you what, it's been nice, you know, some of the deer that we've taken before we took them to the processing plant. You know, when you're cleaning that deer, you can reach in there and get those tenderloins out. And, man, I've been cutting those things up and tenderizing them and putting them in eggs and milk and flour and frying them up. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm making for dinner tonight. That has been outstanding. I've been eating all kinds of deer meat, which I don't normally get to do in Los Angeles,
right,
frying it. But with all this sausage coming back with us on the airplane, I'll be able to, you know, barbecue a link of sausage, eat, you know, all this stuff that we've raised out here. So I'm looking forward to that. But I don't know. I need to get my ass back in the gym.
Yes.
I need to slow down on the drinking.
We do.
How do you feel like you've done with your fitness?
Horribly.
God damn it. There's something about South Texas. No, it's not really South Texas. I think I talked about this on the podcast with Teddy. There's something about being out here in the country. You know, once you get your day's work done,
you're too tired to exercise.
No, you're too tired to exercise, but you just want to wash down the trail dust with a glass of whiskey. Or beer, or you like to drink sake.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I like to do the same thing in Los Angeles as well. But there's just something out here that because you're so busy working out, plays second fiddle to getting the work done.
But it's also part of our routine in California where we have the gym is accessible, my Zumba is accessible, and we have our gym here, but it's just not the same.
Well, it's got out there in the pavilion and just got those barn doors. And so if it's cold outside, it's cold in the gym. If it's hot outside, it's hotter than a motherfucker in the gym.
Yeah.
You just don't feel like working out.
No.
I've done a piss poor job this year of working out.
And we started off like we were going to. We took a couple weeks off and then we got into our routine and we started exercising and then everything went south.
I'm going to talk to Teddy Fowler on the podcast, and I'll go ahead and give you a spoiler. He said he didn't really have any New Year's resolutions. You got any New Year's resolutions, my wonderful wife?
No, not really.
Not in that shit?
No. Every day is a New Year's resolution.
My New Year's resolution for 2017, as we used to always say in the wrestling business, about when you go into a wrestling match, I'm going to get my shit in. I'm gonna own 2017. I don't know exactly what I mean by saying that, but I'm gonna have a goddamn good year.
You go.
Yeah. I'm gonna fucking raise hell in 2017. I don't know in what fashion, shape, or form, but I just got my mind set on making 2017 a damn good year because 2016 was a little bit lackluster. So just stay out of the goddamn way. I'm going to stop and get a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper because I'm in a goddamn hurry. Hey, Kristen, it was good bullshitting with you here on the open of the show. I'm going to take your microphone. I'm going to cruise back in here into the bedroom where I do my reads and my podcast, and I'm going to take care of the first order of business. My podcast today is a conversation with Ted Fowler 361. We're just shooting a breeze, talking about wrapping up all the projects up here. All the cleaning that we're doing, this is a fucking reality show waiting for someone to fucking say, hey, Steve, let's do a reality show at the Broken Skull Ranch where I bring motherfuckers out here and mold them into fucking men. Enough of that bullshit. Hey, man, before we get into the Bodies podcast, we've got a Q&A today on the backside of the podcast on part two. First is me and Teddy shooting the breeze. But before we get into that, here's something. Let me ask you. Have you ordered your WWE Slam Crate at lootcrate.com/unleashed? Well, what are you waiting for? This is the greatest tag team in crate history, the WWE Slam Crate. It's a bi-monthly mystery subscription service for fans of the WWE Universe. And the third crate is ready to order now. This one is all about the road to WrestleMania, and it celebrates the superstars who live, eat, breathe, and sleep this journey. And this crate is loaded with exclusive items featuring The Rock, Seth Rollins, Charlotte, and other WWE superstars. There's also an authentic t-shirt that you can't get anywhere else. So sign up at lootcrate.com/unleashed by January 15th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or you'll miss it and regret it. So go to lootcrate.com/unleashed and use the promo code unleashed. You can save $3 off any new subscription. That's lootcrate.com/unleashed and use the promo code unleashed to save $3 off any new subscription. But do it now, because once that February 15th deadline passes, so does your chance to get this crate. Order now at lootcrate.com/unleashed.
Okay, it's a brand new year, and Podcast One's got a whole bunch of brand new coming your way. We're talking about new shows from Layla Ali, The Forbes Network, NASCAR's Larry McReynolds, Real Housewife Kim Zolciak, amazing scripted series like Murder Made Me Famous, Tori Spelling and Dean McDermott, Richard Marks, Norman Lear, and many, many more. So get on board for 2017 and download the Podcast One app now. That way you can take us with you all year long. Happy New Year from PodcastOne.com.
Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Unleashed.
What's happening, Ted? How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good energy.
Except for the fact I'm bit up with fucking chiggers and ticks and fleas.
How'd you get the chiggers, ticks, and fleas on you?
I'm moving all those deer when the cooler crapped out and taking them over to the other deer. Or to the other cooler. I did it in a short-sleeve shirt. It was my first mistake.
Well, what was I doing when you informed me that the deer cooler had gone down? I know it's something important.
I don't know. You're in the house. Because I was going out to hunt, and I walked out, and I noticed that, you know, the cooler wasn't on when I opened the door. It's 60 in there.
It's the second time that cooler broke down this year. They were supposed to have fixed it.
Yes, sir.
I'm certainly positive that it wasn't their fault. I think a rat got up there and chewed up some wires. So we had about, what, 10, 11 deer hanging?
Yes, sir. 11.
We got a backup cooler on the other side of the property, and we've been running that thing all season long just because it hadn't been running in a couple of years because we never use it. So when a guy came out there and fixed it, the guy from South Texas, where South Central Air Conditioning in Jordan, and they do excellent work, he said, hey, man, you might want to run this thing for a while. Just make sure it's good. And so we did, and luckily we had that to go as a backup. But while Teddy was throwing all those damn deer in the back of my 6x12 utility trailer, I was doing something. So as you picked them all up, oh, Jesus Christ. He's pointing at his forearm and his bicep where he has a chigger bite. You fucking pussy. God damn. I came over here to do this podcast. I got about 6 4x4 pieces of paper that my wife wrote notes on. I got some emails that people sent over. And I got my drinking glass full of rocks and a half gallon of Crown Royal Black. I borrowed a drinking water, just a splash of a Conair water on top of my whiskey. God damn it, Teddy. You know we was doing that podcast just the other day for the Tuesday show?
Right.
Right then, towards the end, I reached across the table. I spilled my 20-ounce Yeti tumbler. There wasn't nothing but a Conair's worth of material left in there, and a couple of little splashes got on my computer, my number one laptop. And I've had this thing for about a year. And the motherfucker crapped out.
Really?
So I brought this little Air Mac. I said, man, I better just bring this thing back up just because who knows what's going to happen, especially with me and technology. And I wasn't drunk. I wasn't shit-faced. It wasn't nothing. I just knocked over glass, and a couple of drops got on my computer, and that sumbitch is belly up.
Really? That was enough to do it?
Oh, yeah. Mm. And so, man, I go in panic mode. I'm thinking, man, I don't have FileZilla or whatever on this computer, but luckily, thanks to Dan Brady, my good buddy in L.A., my tech guy, before I left, we updated all my applications, my FileZilla, Skype, all that stuff, and then we got on this computer. And I do this thing where you can just share your computer with someone that can look on your screen while you're talking to them. So he just guided me through the process. Luckily, I brought my little card reader that plugs into the side of the USB port, plugged in my little chip that you and I have been talking in, and sent the show. So, goddamn, thank God I brought this fucking bag up.
Boy, I can't believe that that thing got screwed up with just that little bit, you know, of margarita that flopped on it.
I don't think it was the tequila that got it. I think it was the sugar and the margarita mix. I mean, straight up. Because, I mean, you know, fuck, I drank most of the damn drink. My wife made me a bunch of notes to help out with the show.
I see that.
She says, are you going to do a podcast tonight? Because I need to turn in a podcast tomorrow because it's podcast time. But also got a shitload of work. Shit, me and Teddy ain't even hunting right now. He went out with the camera. and he was filling deer feeders all day. And then I was riding a tractor trying to cut out the senderos, get some more mowing before we get out of here. And I got to drive into Beeville, Texas tomorrow to meet my nephew, Neil, who is bringing me the deer meat that we just had processed from Country Slaughter down there in Victoria, Texas. I didn't want to drive all the way to Victoria because I ain't got time. Well, I've got a few more days here because I fly out on January 7th. Ted's got a couple more days here, but with all the shit that we got going on, wrapping up all these projects, taking the corn feeders out of the damn field, putting the protein feeders out, you got about four more to fill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple more cuts that I need to make, and I need to put those protein feeders out where I want them. But goddamn, man, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Saw a good deer tonight. You saw a hell of a fight.
Yeah, I videoed it.
Goddamn, well, they wasn't messing around.
No. And young deer, too. You know, they did that John Wayne walk and, you know, kind of, you know, tilt their heads. And, man, you know it's on because they're all testosterone up. The majority of the does have all been closed out. You know, they're bred. So, you know, they're laying in the brush doing, you know, whatever they're doing. And the guys are walking around, you know, looking for some trim. And, you know, boy, they start that old bar stare down and they hooked it up.
It's funny because there's two bucks fighting on this film. Yeah, they're a couple of young bucks, 2.5 years old, but it was a good fight. Man, one of them started, they locked up. I mean, one of them got the other one's head turned. He's pushing him back. And then the other one got his hoof hung up in the whole, just a tangle of horns. Then he got it out. Then the other one turned the other guy's head. Looked like he's going to snap his neck. Then they came out of that. And then out of the blue, it's always like you hear people say, hey, man, let's go see if we can rattle up a few bucks.
Yeah.
And for you people that don't hunt, a lot of times you'll get two shed horns or just two antlers that you got and clack them together, bang them around, scrape them on the ground, hit some brush, clack them together, and it simulates a fight. Sure enough, Teddy was videoing the two bucks fighting and all that commotion, and here comes a bigger buck. And he was about 4.5-year-old deer, mm-hmm. Bigger horn, and it looked like he wanted to jump in the fight, and then it looked like he was just going to be the special referee. And then finally he came in, and he's the one that busted up the fight.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, guys, knock it off. I already got the pussy. Get the fuck out of here. That was awesome, though.
Oh, dude, that's proof right there that rattling would work. You know, that. And that was a good idea of yours, you know, take some time off and go rattle and see if we can rattle up a buck. But we got too much shit going on to do that.
I know, just trying to close up. But, you know, like during the season, just trying to get our numbers. We're sitting in the stand so much, you ain't got time to rattle horns.
No.
You're too fucking tired to. I'm going back to L.A., you know, on the 7th is when I fly back. And goddamn, it's going to take me a couple of days just to rest up and recover. And like I said on the last podcast, people think I come over here and fuck around. Oh, yeah, Austin's just down here. Yeah, he's a deer hunting. Yeah, motherfucker. Come out here and hang with me. I'd like to do a reality show out here. It ain't got to be about deer hunting because a lot of people don't want to deer hunt. That's fine. Not about hunting. But just come out to the Broken Skull Ranch, learn how to build fence, how to drive a tractor, how to fix shit,
mm-hmm.
how to run a chainsaw, a weed eater, a push mower, just set shit up, just do work. And you have the goddamn good reality show out here. Just bring some of the biggest pussies on planet Earth to the Broken Skull Ranch. No, not really pussies, but people that are city slickers that want to just come out and learn what working outdoors is.
Oh, dude, with the bugs and the stickers and the, you know, the snakes and the heat. You know, shit like that, most of the time that'll cripple, you know, regular people, you know. And then again, we haven't exactly treated our bodies like temples this deer season.
I do not look like the Greek god that I had wanted to by season end.
Dude, Mitch and I were swinging that sledgehammer the other day, and we were having to tag team that thing, breaking up that concrete, and it was like, good Lord. I mean, I'm sweating, you know, like a pig, and the booze is just pouring out of me. You know,
I had swung a couple before you came over there, swinging that sledgehammer, knocking the concrete off the bottom of those posts we'd pulled up with a Komodo tractor. And I was like, yeah, man, this is a good little workout. But after about three of those motherfuckers, it's like, yeah, you guys go ahead and do that. I'm going to get the bucket to the tractor so we can put the cement in. After all, I got to be the job foreman. Someone's going to be a foreman.
I was like scooping up all those flagstones, and I started throwing that in the bucket. It was like, dude, wait a minute.
Goddamn, speaking of mess, you talk about, man, he ain't even redneck. This sumbitch is a goddamn country. He's a mountain man. He's out of Sparks, Nevada. He's a guide, and he can fix anything. But Ted had taken some deer meat down to Country Slaughter in Victoria because Mitch was only going to be here for about 4 days, Kristen's brother-in-law, and we really wanted to, him to be able to take back that deer meat with him. We got a bunch made into sausage and some hamburger. And so Ted went down and got it and picked it up and got it here to the ranch. And I was like, you know, maybe you can take back a little bit of it. And he took back all of it.
Yeah.
There's a couple hundred pounds of deer meat now.
Correct.
And this motherfucker... Did he have a cooler?
No, he did not have a single cooler.
Well, I had some extra suitcases from back in my wrestling days stuck in my closet over there. Back in the day, Teddy, all the boys used to wear... Back in the day, Teddy, all the boys used to use Toomey suitcases. I mean, if you wanted to look like somebody, because it's a good brand of suitcase.
Right, right.
So if you was one of the boys and you was, you know, you knew what was happening, you got to have the N suitcase.
Right, right.
You don't want to be dragging some piece of shit, Samson. All due respect to Samson, man. I had a couple of them in my day. But you know those fold together plastic shells? No, you had to have a Toomey pull out with a roller handle on it. So he loaded up a couple of extra my suitcases that I'd retired many years ago and went to the damn airport. I guess he's flying American or whatever. And one of his bags weighed about a pound over. I think 70 pounds is the limit.
Correct.
And one of his bags was like 71 pounds. This thing was just full of frozen deer sausage and hamburger meat, which we'd had in the freezer for a couple of days. So it was hard as a brick. And all of a sudden, they opened up his suitcase. People see all this fucking sausage. It's, you know, it's professionally shrink wrapped, but it's sausage.
And it's in a garbage bag.
Yeah. That was his insulation. So he takes the link out, puts it in his backpack. And then the lady says, okay, we can zip it up now. I don't think one fucking link of sausage was going to bring the plane down. And what difference does it make if it's in the fucking bag or in his backpack? It's still on the airplane. I think it's about, you put the heavy bag sticker on the suitcase for the person that's got to handle it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah,
they got a 70-pound limit out there. Fucking motherfuckers used to throw in bags, man. Shit. One link of sausage. Oh, God, yeah. You can see the guy there. Oh, yeah. That was straw that broke the camel's back. He opens up that damn suitcase. Oh, see, this is what got me. A fucking link of deer sausage.
I see a workman's comp claim coming.
But I just figured, hell, if he got hungry, if the plane had to get diverted to another location or whatever, you just pull out that link of sausage and start snacking.
I could see him doing that, you know, get in the overhead container, pull out his backpack, and, you know, tear open that deer sausage, start gnawing on it.
Oh, goddamn. Boy, we gave that son of a hard time out of here. He made a shot on a deer that wasn't so chilly red hot, and so he heard about that for three solid days from Ted Fowler, 361 and myself, ragging him. Cocksucker, no shooting motherfucker. God damn it.
What about trying to give him directions to the deer stand?
Now, here's what I see. This guy, he was a guide in Nevada, in the big country. I mean, thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres. I mean, the whole fucking state. And he comes out here to my place. It's 2,000 acres. It's shaped like a rectangle. And we're giving him directions to the simplest stand on the fucking property. And he goes, now, how do I do this? Do I go this way or do I go this other way and go down that road? And he was working us. Because I was sitting there, and he fooled me. He 100%, he had me hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, you stupid motherfucker. Go down to there, hang that left, get to that fence line, hang that left. You go about a half mile, there's the roadway in. And he started asking you. And so I got to get, he's like Daniel Day-Lewis. That somebody's worked me like a goddamn neck bone. I've been in hook, line, and sinker. I'm thinking, how can this guy know how to get out anywhere in the world?
Right.
And then, fuck, he gets lost on the Broken Skull Ranch.
Yeah, where
I got goddamn mad at him.
Where he's fenced in. Yeah. And I was laughing my ass off because I said, dude, get on this all-weather road and just follow it north to the front gate. And you go, yeah, goddamn it, I wish you'd fucking go out the front gate, too, and just keep on going.
Okay, it's time for a quick word of thanks to one of my longtime sponsors who also happens to be a close personal friend, Diamond Dallas Page and his DDPY program. And if you ain't on the DDPY program yet because you're not really sure if it's the right choice for you, just look at Mick Foley. He's the latest DDPY convert, and he's dropped over 100 pounds, and he's in the best shape of his life. And if that ain't incentive enough, maybe this is. Dallas is offering the biggest sale ever on DDP Yoga right now. He's giving y'all 25% off the DDP Yoga Now app, the DDPY DVDs, and all DDPY swag. You can get 25% off t-shirts, mats, heart monitors, hats, and more. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Austin. And that's not all. If you buy the DDPY Max Pack today, you'll get 50% off your second copy. So that's 50% off the 25% off you're already getting. That's huge savings. And of course, if you buy the DDPY DVDs for 25% off, you still get 3 free months of the DDP Yoga Now app. So take control of your own health and fitness in the new year. Get on the DDPY program today and take advantage of this huge sale. 25% off all DDPY related merch at ddpyoga.com/Austin. That's ddpyoga.com/Austin.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Mitch is also a master trapper. So y'all been hearing the skunk problems. Hershey's Wonder Dog got sprayed by a skunk about a month and a half ago. It seems like for fucking ever. I've aged in about 6 dog years being out here on this ranch with all the work and the hunting.
I apologize for my...
maybe some of the drinking. But Mitch is also a master trapper, and the skunk problem still exists out here, and he was scratching around underneath my house over there. And so Mitch went out there, being the master trapper that he is, made a one-way door so that if the skunk went out the door, it swiveled back, and you couldn't get back in.
Right.
I think he put some flour or something down on the ground to see if there's going to be any skunk tracks. Someone said they had heard the one-way door open and close, but I think the skunk is still up underneath the house because the other night it was still scratching around there. So do you know any whereabouts about the goddamn skunk?
No, dude, I still haven't. I heard him. I haven't seen him.
So if you heard him, he didn't go out the one-way door?
No.
If he's going to go out the one-way door, he's going to be in the front yard, which is fenced in, but they got a square through the bull panel he can get out. But I was worried about if somebody's got mad and was just going to hang around, he could spray one of the dogs if they went out to take a piss, or me if I went to take out a piss in the middle of the night.
No, but he'll be gone here shortly. After you guys leave, I'll take care of him.
Oh, okay. Well, what's your proposition on taking care of the skunk?
I told you what I was going to do.
What?
Set the live trap out there.
All right.
Put a little string on it.
Yep.
After you catch him.
Yep.
Just reel him to the fence.
Yep.
Shoot him. Get him away from the house.
Ted, I wish you luck in your endeavors with the skunk.
You guys won't be here.
I know. Exactly. Because last thing I need to do is just go out there and just, you know, try to take a leak in the yard and get sprayed by a skunk. So, hey, let me know what happens. I'd like to see that motherfucker gone.
I will.
So let me see. I'm just going over this list. The tractor broke, but then it got fixed. So now we're mowing again. Oh, here's a heads up for you. You know that Sendero I was cutting when I passed you in the feed wagon?
Yeah.
I want to cut that north end from the Carrizo to Turnbuckle,
right,
and the north fence line all the way from brush to brush. But, man, dude, when you're doing a recut like that, you can mow in fourth gear.
Really?
I'm mowing at 4.6, 4.7 miles an hour.
Dude, that's twice
you
the normal
shitting.
Speed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like hauling ass.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's doing a good cut, too. It's not no, you're going too fast and you're making a shitty cut.
Well, and you got the new blades. Got the new blades on it as well.
Yeah, but it's, but like I said, it's just low growth. I mean, technically, you know, I could wait for it to grow higher.
Right.
But we're here. You know, I ain't got nothing else to do but work, so I want to cut all the Sendero's like that and get it done. But that was just through experimentation because normally running in three low, you know, I'm cutting around 3.2, 3.3 miles an hour. When you can cut at 4.6 and still get a good cut,
yeah, that's hauling ass. That is hauling ass.
Yeah, so that's a FYI for you in case you just do some recut stuff.
All right.
Okay, so you got the buck fight. Margarita spilled and broke my computer. I'm using my backup computer. See, this is because my wife put these things all in a certain order. The flight back. Let's not talk about the flight back. You know what? I'm trying to call my guy to get my SUV shipped back to California, and he won't answer the phone. I wonder if he's okay. Hopefully, you know, he didn't party too hard on New Year's Eve.
Well, you guys are driving that to the airport and then just parking it there, and then they'll pick it up?
Yep. That's the way they shipped it down there. Shipped it down. We flew into the FBO, and they had the keys up there at the front counter. We'll just get out and just go get in our car. So we'll leave it there. Now, also, I've got to get Buck the Mule shipped back to California. So maybe one of these days when you come back, you know, you're going to be here for a little bit, but when you come back, a guy can come pick up Buck
right,
and ship him back out to Cali. I want to thank UVC Power Sports once again for outfitting that mule. I paid for it. They gave me a good deal, but I paid for all that shit, so don't think I got a bunch of free shit thrown on my mule. I paid for it. I'm proud of it. It looks good. That front-end replacement looks good. I had that windshield on there. The windshield was good if it gets cold enough, but it's so damn dusty in here, it makes that dust recirculate back in that cab.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a quick release windshield, and it's dot grade, whatever you call it. It's a badass windshield. I just pulled it off. I'm going to put my canopy basket back on my regular gun rack. The vertical gun rack is cool. Mm-hmm. I like my shit laying there so I can use it. And when I got that canopy rack, I can use it as a rest.
You know what? I saw that vertical rack with the little tension deals. That looks like pretty neat.
It's a great system. Yeah. If you're just going somewhere, it's a great system.
Yeah.
But, man, I just like that basket so much. And you could run that vertical gun rack with the basket as well.
Right.
And just take off those other gun mounts. But what makes the other one so handy is because they're laying right there, you know, diagonal mm-hmm. next to you.
Yeah, you get just a quick pick shot it up, on the coyote, flip it, boom, flip it over. There. Yeah. Boy, those light bars really worked out. We saw it tonight. Saw it in action with those deer in front of the house.
Man, I tell you what, it looks like a fucking spaceship out there.
There's a lot of lights on that, mister.
I made Shannon and the gang dropped off Buck the Mule, and man, I went over all the buttons, all the bells and whistles and the switches. I got a horn installed on this son of a bitch. I should have had to put some blinkers on this cocksucker. So I can use my blinkers out here driving around the ranch.
Dude, that fucking horn.
Yeah, but dude, that'll make a deer look.
You need one of those, you know, ooga.
Ain't gonna be none of that shit. That horn cost me $50. Get off my ass. It made that deer. When I came back to the house a while ago, I was running down the road, had my lights on, and Ted's got some bright lights on his rig, too. And he was shining on a buck right there in the front yard. I said, oh, I see what he's doing. I was looking at him through with my binoculars. So I brought him with my light bar. We was double, just looking at him because he's right in our front yard. And man, that deer, I ain't never seen that deer before.
No. He was a young deer, too, three and a half.
Yeah, got a pencil horn, eight, and then that 10 was in front of him.
Yeah.
But nothing to brag about.
No.
It was just neat. Put him in that light.
Yeah.
Got a backup lights. God dang, who did those the bumpers on that thing? I'll think of it in a minute. They did a good job on those bumpers. I got a backup light on that bumper, but you don't need no backup light on the bumper. You know that light
that
bar?
That big light bar.
The light bar in the back? That's
correct.
All you need.
Right, right.
And it's got enough ambient light so you can see what's in the bed of your damn mule as well.
I saw those little cube lights on the back. I mean, you can rotate those.
You can rotate
and
those.
Adjust them.
She's got them there so I can look at the fence line, but I'm going to just loosen them up, point them back into the bed.
Into the bed.
That was full bore. To do it right, all you need is a light bar in the front, light bar in the back. You're covered.
Right.
But goddamn, when you light that sumbitch up, I mean, you looks like a fucking spaceship out
there. It's got a winch on the front of it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that front end replacement. And then on my other two mules, she's going to put an ox rack on the ranch edition, the four-door, and that's all, just dome lights in both, and then that's all. We're not doing anything with those. And they're doing the service.
Custom rims on that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, you're like modern-day Ric Flair.
you know, limousine riding.
Hey, man, when Ric Flair came out here to the ranch, we did a Stone Cold podcast out here, and Rick piled out of the damn, I don't know, it was an SUV, it was a Lincoln Town Car. It looked like he'd been seen, but sleeping. He came in from the San Antonio airport from Atlanta. He goes, Jesus Christ, Austin, are we in Afghanistan? He'd never been so far in a remote in his entire life.
This is out there.
You know, he's somewhat of a city slicker, but yeah, so I'm riding in style out there. Now, I dig those wheels. I like the stock wheels, too.
Right.
But she tricked this thing out, and it matched the color scheme with what we did, so that's why we went that direction.
I did the barbed wire down the side and the Broken Skull Ranch and the buck on the side. I mean, I really, you know, I looked at it today. I didn't really, you know, paid any. I didn't want to get out there yesterday as haggard as I was looking, you know, around everybody, but now that everybody's left, I looked it over. It's a good ride. It's a cool ride. I like those seat covers.
Oh, man.
You
know,
yeah.
And they do a good job with those upholstery because they're contoured seats, so you kind of sink back in them a little bit. And that's like that faux, or should you say fake, crocodile.
Right.
But it's tacky. I mean, it's sticky. So, I mean, you know, you get traction on it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't slide around on it. So, yeah, I dig it, man. It's pretty cool. We ran out of dog food, so my dogs are eating the fish that I bought with the good intentions of eating right. That's another note from my wife.
Your dogs come first, man.
God damn it, man. We run short on dog food. I think it comes in the mail tomorrow and right before we leave on Saturday. And so, man, I was going to get in shape while I was down here at the ranch. And, of course, start hanging around with Ted Fowler, 361, and Left Him Own Devices out here in the middle of nowhere. Dude, there's something about... It ain't South Texas. It's just something about being in the fucking woods.
We're
out here away from civilization. You just grilled chicken breast, you know, a plain baked potato and broccoli. Yeah, you can do it. But in the middle of the day when you're working, you come off the tractor, you just go throw a couple of 3 pieces of ham and some cheese, some mustard mayonnaise on some whole wheat bread, and you wolf that cocksucker down, you go back and you get back to it.
Right.
So I had all the intentions of eating like a fucking... bodybuilder while I was out here. I got tilapia over there, frozen cod, so now that's what my wife is cooking for the dogs to fill in with some of their other dog food to wait till the other shit gets in. So those motherfuckers are living high on the hog over here.
Dude, I got 2 packages of frozen sea trout. I could probably do with one of them, give you the other one.
If it comes down to it,
so you ain't gonna starve to death.
I won't need to eat it. I'm doing good with it. I had a Lincoln deer sausage. The only Lincoln deer sausage that Mitch didn't take with him, I gave Shannon from UV Country, 4 Lakes Broken Skull Ranch deer sausage, the most expensive deer sausage in the world. God almighty. Oh, we got the flight back. I'm going to make Bloody Marys. I'm going to use the Trader Joe's 1.5 liter bottle to put in my Bloody Mary mix. And my Tito's vodka, and we'll use that for the flight home. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. I'm not going to get all shit-faced up in the air because I know I got to drive when I get to LAX and get in my damn car and drive my wife and my dogs back to safety, back to our house. And actually, we're not going to be driving back to our house. We're going to be driving back to the house that we're renting because our house is being remodeled. We just got the news today that coastal exemptions, coastal clearance.
No, we got windstorm.
Whatever it is. It's coastal CC this or something that.
Yeah.
Finally cleared. None of our neighbors are protesting the fact that, hell, all the cocksuckers around me done rebuilt their fucking houses. I've been listening to them hammer nails and drop cement and do all kinds of shit for the last 5 years. So I was just waiting for one motherfucker to say, no, we don't want to listen to y'all's racket over there at 316. I've come to Jesus meeting with that motherfucker. We're just doing a light remodel on this bitch. But you got to go through the process to get all your permits.
You guys aren't in a homeowners association deal over there, are you?
No, we're just a regular neighborhood.
Huh.
But you got to jump through the hoops. I tell you what, though, we got a hell of a contractor over there. I'm glad that we hooked up with this guy because he's kind of like you, honest as the day is long, square about his work, knows what he's talking about. So some of the pictures, you know, that he sent us is some of the work that someone did before he got there, and he's having to fix a lot of this shit.
Right.
You know, it's not uncommon.
No.
But when you see it and it's your crib, it's like, man, what the fuck was somebody thinking? And who was the inspector when this shit was going on?
Dude, that's a problem. That stuff isn't getting inspected or it wouldn't be done like that. You know, it's some homeowner that has watched a little bit of HGTV and thinks, you know what, I can move an electrical outlet from here to there. I can add a switch. I can add a light, you know, do stuff like that. And if nothing else, man, it's unsafe. You know, it's unsafe for you guys because if they're running wires through the wall, through the studs and stuff, you go to hang a picture. And you just grab a nail and go to pound it in there, and just by, you know, dumb luck, you hit that wire. Yeah, that some bitch arc. Then, you know.
Oh, dude, it's a funny thing you said that. Some of the wire things, yeah, we found some of the braces. I mean, there's a diagonal brace that's cut in two. So he's going to plywood that because that's where we put our TV. We're going to put it on the wall instead of put on a nightstand or whatever you call it. Hmm. And so he's going to ply with that all in, but also just to give it the support that it needed. And it's like, man, are you fucking kidding me? You'll cut a fucking support beam in two or a diagonal, whatever that, direction it's going.
That pork chop is used to straighten up the wall. That's that diagonal beam. Yeah, you put a cheetah bar or nail a stud on it, cut off stud so you can pull it and it'll square up the wall, you know, during framing. Yeah, it is supposed to stay intact. It's not supposed to be cut in two.
Well, I told my wife, you know, because we're getting all the walls skim coated and I'm gonna repaint it, but so, you know, there's some waves, you know, on some of that old shit,
right?
And it had that orange peel texture, whatever, you know, the different texture to be more modern because, you know, we ain't done shit to that house. Hell, I hit the pause button, and I was trying to think of what I was fixing to say, and you said what?
What kind of texture are they doing? Are they spraying a knockdown, or are they hand doing a skip trowel?
What's a skip trowel?
You ever seen them do stucco on the outside? Well,
yeah.
Okay.
No, man, it's going to be like smooth paint.
Oh, okay.
I mean, not like smooth, but I mean, like, our shit's kind of orange peeling looking.
Okay, skip trowel is where they take, you know, like a concrete float, and they take their trough full of mud, scoop it up, mix a little silica sand in there so it's not, you know, slick, and then they just kind of bounce it across the wall and you get different patterns.
Oh, No, we're not doing that. We're doing just like a smooth finish.
Right.
But this is like, that old shit. Okay, take for instance, you remember that old shit when you get the cottage cheese ceiling?
Yeah, the old popcorn ceiling.
Okay.
Acoustic ceiling. Yeah,
that's kind of out of style.
Correct,
now.
Correct.
So, I mean, we don't have that. But it's like a similar type thing on the wall, but not to that degree.
It's probably orange peel.
Okay, yeah. Orange peel.
The stuff they do now is, you know, we don't get anybody in Rockport that does skip trowel because it's too labor intensive. You know, they're big thing.
Full finishes and shit like that?
No, dude, there's nah. What those guys do is they call it a knockdown texture. Basically, it's a heavy orange peel where they stand back with the hopper and spray it. Let it flash over a bit, and then go over it with a big taping knife and flatten it out smooth. That's knockdown.
Yeah, so my shit is just going to be
just gonna
flattened
be smooth.
Out smooth.
Yeah.
Now my wife's got the last meal at Cancun she brought me today. My wife went into Pleasanton, Texas today to get our last bit of groceries, and she brought me 3 beef enchiladas and 3 beef tacos from Cancun Mexican Food there in Jerdenton / Pleasanton, Texas, damn near across from the Walmart. Goddamn. If y'all ever pass through that area, go there and get the same meal I just mentioned to you. It's right behind another Mexican food restaurant called, I can't remember what it is. The one gets more attention because it's right there on the main drag. But go to Cancun's because they got the best damn food in Jerdenton. But, Teddy, how are you? You good? You tired? You ready to take your ass to the house?
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking tired.
What the fuck?
I'm tired. I'm ready to start shooting birds. It was nice to sleep in a little bit this morning. You know, slept in until about 7:30. I had to go take those deer into town. Now, dude, I'm like you. I'm ready to, you know, ratchet it back a little bit with the drinking, get back into shape. I mean, that was a novel idea to have me bring the Prowler out here. You know, we ain't touched it.
I thought we would.
I thought we would, too.
Hey, man, before we take a break and come back and answer a couple of these questions, I don't even know what they sent in. I thought some people were going to send in resolutions and shit like that, and I didn't hammer the point home enough. But there's a couple of questions that people sent in. But tell me the story, or tell the people the story, because a lot of times what we do out here at the Broken Skull Ranch is, man, this year, Ted took three deer to the processing company. I took three deer, and Mitch took three deer to the processing company to get made into sausage, whatnot, whatever. We all had our mix done. But we can't eat all the deer that we have to take off the ranch. So Ted has a guy that he'll meet at certain places and will transfer the deer from Ted's truck to or hit. So what they'll do is transfer the deer from Ted's truck to whoever's truck that he's meeting. But one of his buddies was going to get some deer meat. And I think you took off from the ranch with, what, 6-8 deer in the back of your pickup truck?
Yeah, there was 8.
But and you was going to stop in Beeville.
Right.
Well, I'm meeting my nephew in Beeville tomorrow to pick up the deer meat from the processor, and it's going to be in coolers and stuff like that. But tell me your extravaganza story about where the fuck you made the exchange this time.
That was the one prior to this. Yeah, no, because I was going back to Rockport for a day, and I was going to take Pete half a dozen deer and then take 2 to my painter there in Rockport.
And Pete is a good friend of Ted's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I talked to Petey the night before, and he says, you know, hey, bro, I got to be in Beeville at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I said, well, that's perfect because I don't crawl out of the deer stand until, you know, 8. And if we shoot something, you know, it'll be 9 before I get on the road. All right, that's not a problem. I'll meet you there in Beeville, and then I'll continue on, you know, to Rockport for a quick turnaround, then come back here to the ranch. So I said, I'll shoot you a text in the morning when I'm on the road. You can, you know, tell me where we're going to meet up. So I shoot him a text, and he texts back an address for me, and I put it in my, you know, the map deal on my phone, and it says some funeral home in Beeville. And I'm looking, I go back to the text, I'm going, shit, did I type something in wrong? Nope, it's a funeral home. And I call Pete. I said, hey, dude, the address you gave me is to a funeral home. You know, and dude, I'm wearing my rubber boots, my holy jeans. I got deer blood all over me. I ain't run a comb through my hair in about a week. You know, haven't shaved. The only thing I'm doing regularly is brushing my teeth. You know, you talk about looking like a hillbilly. You know, and I got all these, you know, dead deer in the back of the truck. And I go, Pete, the address you gave me is to a funeral home. He goes, yeah, bro, man, my uncle, it's my uncle's funeral. He says, you know, I'm not going to the, you know, to the cemetery. I'm just going to stay there for, you know, the memorial service. And about the time you get here, it'll be about the time that you know, we're leaving. And I'm going, oh, dude, hey, man, I'll take these back to Rockport. You know, I mean, I'm not comfortable with this. He's like, ah, bro, don't worry about it. It's no problem at all. And I'm so, you know, being my decision making skills sometimes, I said to him, man, all right, whatever. I roll up to the funeral home, and I swear to God, they've got the sheriff out there going to do, you know, the motorcade, you know, to stop traffic, all of that stuff. There is a parking lot full of vehicles. There's the hearse. There's about 75 people standing outside, and here I come, old Jethro Bodine. Pete is coming across the parking lot. He's waving, you know, hooty-hoo, you know, and he's all dressed up nice and stuff. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God. And Pete jumps up into the back of his truck, throws the tailgate down. I get out in my rubber boots and my holy jeans, and I'm going, God damn it, Pete, are we really doing this? He's like, yeah, dude, it'll be fine. So we start transferring all these deer in the parking lot of this funeral home. Yeah, I was like, holy shit, I can't get out of here quick enough.
And our deer frozen solid because they've been in our coolers. You should have took them into the funeral home, have a little service for them. But hey, those deer are going to feed a whole lot of people.
Pete was like, man, I got something for you. And I'm going, yeah, I think God does too after this stunt. I'm going, hey, dude, whatever you got, it can fucking wait. Because I got a bad bite. Because everybody's looking, you know, like, man, look at this fucking transient, you know. What are these guys doing? Humping all these deer from truck to truck, you know, here in the parking lot of the funeral home. Yeah, and then he came across with all those tamales. So it was, you know, hey.
Oh, man, he brought like 7 dozen tamales. I was like, that was a very nice gesture. Because, yeah. Man, them tamales are damn good. And not to mention, I was just lucky that you came out of that because I'm trying to make a little money on the side when you're running those deer up there to Beeville to Pete. I had about 16 kilos of cocaine stuffed in those deer. I just like, I'm glad they made it. It'd been a big hassle on me had you got pulled over or something.
Well, big hassle on you, huh?
If you'd got busted, that'd have been your cocaine.
Well, yeah.
I'm kidding. You ain't running cocaine and dead deer. Jesus Christ. Hey, coming right back after pause for the cause, a word from the sponsor to keep the show on the air. 2 times a week. I don't know why.
I don't know how.
I don't know how. I don't know why, but they do. So I keep doing it. I want to make another mixie. Hopefully I won't spill it on my computer and crash this motherfucker. This is my last show from the Broken Skull Ranch. Hanging out with Ted Fowler, 361. We're coming back to answer a couple of questions that you guys sent in to questions at steveaustinshow.com. Hey, all you comedy fans out there. And I'm guessing that's pretty much everyone listening to this here award-winning podcast. It ain't never won no damn award. I got something for you. CISO. S-E-E-S-O. CISO. CISO is the new ad-free streaming service bringing you all the comedy you can handle for $3.99. You get a near endless supply of top-shelf stuff, exclusive originals, face-melting stand-up, next day, late night shows, and a catalog of classics. And with CISO, you can get your laugh on anytime, anywhere. They got every episode of Saturday Night Live, including brand new episodes the day after they air. CISO has The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, the entire Monty Python catalog, and classic TV shows like 30 Rock and Parks and Recreation. And like I said, they got originals too, like Hidden America with Jonah Ray. This is CISO's fake travel show where the places are real, but the people are not. And right now, you can try CISO free for 2 months when you use promo code PODCAST1 at checkout. Just go to SEESO.com and sign up for 2 months free with promo code PODCAST1 at checkout. That's CISO.com, promo code PODCAST1. If you're in the market for a car, then you need to check out TrueCar.com and the TrueCar app. TrueCar gives you pricing information you need to feel confident about your purchase. When you register with TrueCar, you'll see what other people in your local market paid for the car you want. From there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. TrueCar shows you real pricing on actual inventory, so you see competitive pricing offered to you by TrueCar certified dealers for vehicles that are actually on their lots. TrueCar makes car buying easy, no matter if you're looking for a brand new or a used vehicle. There's over 500,000 pre-owned vehicles available from TrueCar certified dealers nationwide, and there are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers. And over 2 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by the TrueCar certified dealer network. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app to enjoy a better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
Steve Austin. Steve Austin. Unleashed.
All right, back rolling sound here with Tough Battle 361. I just got me another Crown Black and water. This is cut hair water. Teddy's over here drinking. Carbach Hopadilla, it's a damn good IPA based out of Houston, Texas. They just sold out. They sold, one of the bigs bought them.
You told me that.
Yeah, yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
But I think they still got complete control and leeway to do whatever they want over there. They make a good beer. Teddy, people sent us some questions. Now that we're through telling some stories, let's answer a few questions.
Okay.
It's a question from Jonathan Myers, down here in Santa Claus, Indiana. How would you name a town Santa Claus? Anyway, Steve, you mentioned your Chevy Z71 on numerous occasions, but I can't recall what year it is. That's a fucking 2003. P.S. If I could get another shout-out from my wife, Kendra, it would make her day again. You gave her a shout-out on a podcast right after WrestleMania 30, and she absolutely loved it. Hey, Jonathan, you motherfucker. I gave your wife, Kendra, a shout-out. I'm going to give her another shout-out. Hey, Kendra, Steve Austin. How are you doing? Hey, Jonathan, stop sending these bogus emails asking me what year model my truck is. That was a setup so you get another shout-out for your wife. You better get a blowjob or something out of this, you cocksucker. Teddy.
Yep.
Next time you and Teddy are answering questions, here's one I don't think you guys have ever answered. Teddy talks about playing golf sometimes, but has never said what kind of clubs he plays. So, Teddy, what's in the bag?
You know what? My driver's a TaylorMade, like an XI4 or something like that. Hell, I don't even know. And the clubs I've got are just a Ping knockoff that I had made for me, custom length, you know. Yeah, but I don't shoot a name brand, you know.
name brand.
No, so you ain't swinging no high dollar clubs?
No, fuck no.
I brought my first set of clubs. I was living out there in Douglasville, Georgia, at a garage sale. I was pretty goddamn good. I remember, I think the best score I had, I shot a 55 on a 9-hole course. I thought I was on fire. I fucking just thought I was on fire. Of course, that's not worth a shit. But for me, at the time, it was. And then, you know, a few years later, I gave up golf and haven't taken it up yet. Again, I like to go out every now and then and just go to driving range and knock the dog shit out of a few of them. But, you know, hell, I get there about a bucket of balls maybe, and I'm done bored and ready to move on to the next thing. But, you know, when you crack a good one,
oh yeah,
and finally that son of a bitch doesn't slice right or hook left and just goes straight, just a fucking screamer. Like Adam Sandler would hit in Happy Madison or whatever the fuck. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore.
It's Happy Madison's is his movie company.
Right.
Goddamn, when you hit one of those screamers, that's fun.
Oh, yeah.
And just the feeling. Kind of like when we were shooting that gong that you bought me the other day.
Right,
that metal silhouette target. Just, it's the same feeling.
Well, dude, I got that T-box at the house. You know what I mean? I get a kick out of – I've got 2 5-gallon buckets full of Callaway X-Out range balls. You know, I got drunk and bought them off of eBay. You know, you can get 300 used golf balls for $50. Throw them out on that, you know, T-box I made and hit them over the water. You know, I got a couple of flag sticks, 2 different distances. Got one of those little pickup deals so I don't have to bend over and pick them up. I just walk around there and, you know, scoop them up. And I get a kick out of that, you know, take a couple of beers out there and hit, you know, 100 golf balls and go back inside the house.
You know, see, dude, if I would just do it at my crib like that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I could just sit out here and fuck around for a long time.
Yeah, same thing with shooting my bow. You know, I can just walk out the back of the house. And I've got, you know, McKenzie target, I've got hay bales, all that stuff there. And I can just, you know, fling either my compound or my crossbow, you know, do whatever, turn around and go back in the house. Yeah, but I mean, if you got to drive somewhere to go do that, no, shit.
See,
no.
Here's the thing. Back in the day when I used to play golf, one of my outlaw days, see, like, I'd go to the range and I'd pick up a bunch of red stripe balls. I'm that guy. Globe Icon and a national treasure. They put that red stripe or whatever color stripe they use on those golf balls to mark them as range balls. And so, like, everybody else here playing with Nike or Taylor or whatever the golf ball names are.
Right.
Hey, man, where's my ball at? What are the brands?
Titleist Pro V. I shoot a Nike. Yeah. But there's Callaway, there's
all the good shit.
Everybody,
and it's Steve, is this Taylor yours? No, might as well the red stripe. man, it's a range ball. I don't give a fuck, it's my ball. I picked it up, it's my ball. That's what I'm playing with. And see, no, it don't make a shit whether I'm hitting the highest dollar golf ball or the range ball. It's going to go the same place, wherever the fuck I hit it.
That's the ball you use when you're teeing off over water. You're not too sure if you can make it, and you don't want to sink, you know, a $7 ball.
Yeah, for your first shot that you'll claim as a mulligan if you don't make it. So if you make it, then you put your tailor back down. Yeah.
You invoke the lift, clean, and replace rule, where if your ball has an impediment on it, a spot of mud, you can pick it up in the fairway, wipe it off, and that's when you do the old switcheroo. You take the range ball out of play.
Dude, the golf ball, same thing with the pool cue, the golf clubs, it's the same shit, man. See those guys walking into the pool hall with their little case, screw the cue together, and probably about $500 a grand in that cue, I don't know. And then there's an old boy over in the back using that cue right off the wall.
Got a big house
bow
stick.
In it. Crooked as a motherfucker. You know how you always check out a pool cue? You roll it across the table and be rah, 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 rah. And he just fucking chalks it up, breaks them, and all of a sudden he takes everybody to town. Mm. You know, after, you know, $300 or $400 later, the guy unscrews his stick, puts it back in the box, and walks out the damn hall with $300 or $400 left up in the bar and his tail between his legs.
Right. Dude, that's one thing we haven't done is shot pool. I don't think we've been anywhere with pool table.
Dude, you don't want to be anywhere near me with the pool table, because if you beat me, I will hit you with a pool cue. It's an ongoing story out here, because I got one of those arcade dart boards out here that rings up the score for you. And, fuck, I had that thing a long time ago. It's still here, but I gave it to Ted. And I said, shit, man, you got a dart game? Because I thought I was pretty good. And he goes, yeah, I played a time or two. I'm fixing to kick this motherfucker's ass. And that son of a bitch proceeded to strum me like a six-string guitar. Boy, I was madder than a goddamn hornet. And drunk on top of that, I thought we was going to go to fighting. You know, we'd shake hands after every goddamn game because you got to be good sports about it. But I never forgot it. And so this year, I gave Ted the dartboard, and I'm just waiting for him to take the cocksucker home. Tried to rope me into playing the other day because my nephew was over here and said, Uncle Steve, what about that dart? My nephew was out here the other day. Ted tried to get me to play the other day. He got to poking my nephew Neil, who was out here. And Neil came up to me and goes, Uncle Steve, what about that dartboard over there? He goes, can we play tonight? I said, no, man. I said, and Ted was over there kind of not looking so he could see if I was going to get roped in. Man, I was way too smart for that shit. I said, Neil, I said, that's Ted's dartboard. If you want to go play darts with Ted, go ahead. I said, I ain't got nothing to do with that motherfucker.
Remember the deal early on in the season with the zip ties? Remember that? Yeah, you said you can take all them fucking zip ties with you when you take the goddamn dartboard.
I didn't know how to jerry-rig a zip tie. You can't even explain that on a podcast.
No.
Let's move on to another question. God damn it. Steve, I hear you mention you don't sleep well. I also struggle with having a good night's sleep. Do you or have you tried any natural sleep aids? What do you feel up to snuff during the day? Caffeine, supplements, etc.? You just used to feeling tired. Zach in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I ain't never tried too many things as far as natural sleep aids at work. Quite frankly, I prefer prescription grade. I do require a prescription pill to go to sleep. I'm like a light switch. I'm either on or I'm off. As far as filling up to snuff during the day, hey, man, when you've been beat up for 14 years, hitting the head with steel chairs, and you wake up, that's going to be a good day. So I drink my two cups of coffee. It's not like I need a bunch of amphetamines and sniff glue to have a good day. I don't really feel tired during the day. There's a period of the day about, 3-4 o'clock out here just because of the schedule we're on. I like to take a little 30-minute cat nap, but no, man, I'm good. Melatonin I used to be a big fan of, but it doesn't really work for me anymore. So, dude, it is what it is. I'm used to it. I've been doing this shit for 52 years. I got it down pretty good. Teddy, you ain't got no sleep problems, do you?
No, dude, I sleep like a baby.
Well, speaking of babies, here's a question for you. That had nothing to do with the baby, does it? Hey, Steve, I love listening to your podcast. They brighten my day so much. Thank you. You're welcome. This question is regarding your friend, Ted Fowler. I noticed on his Twitter account he's following tattoo-related accounts such as Beautifully Tattooed and Hot Ink Girls. Does Ted just enjoy women with tattoos, or does he have an interest in tattoos himself? Does Ted have any tattoos? Paul Yates, Scotland. Tell me about Beautifully Tattooed and Hot Ink Girls.
Oh, dude. Yeah, no, I dig chicks with tattoos.
Yes?
Yeah, I mean, I've got half a dozen tattoos myself. No, dude, they're, it's interesting to look at. I like beautiful women. I like beautiful women with tattoos. And both of those Twitter accounts have them. Damn.
You cocksucker.
Dude, I gotta keep on top of my game.
I'm trying to find another goddamn email.
Well, that was out of left field there.
Casey Daniels, best way to avoid a hangover, stay drunk. Love it. Yeah, Casey, it's a shoot. I ain't lying to you. Here's a question. Hey, Steve and Ted, I was listening to the show the other week, and you mentioned some of the awful films that you've done. But The Condemned is one hell of a film, and you're a bona fide badass in it. But what's your condition to Michael Jai White? Were you friends before your films? Oh, and Ted, I don't know if you're involved in much woodwork, but what, in your professional opinion, is the best finish for a raw pine or a pool cue case, i.e. wax, varnish, etc.? Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Lay B from Nottingham, UK. First of all, The Condemned was a badass movie. And yeah, I was pretty much a rock star in that movie, and I'm blowing smoke up my ass. Yeah, I could have done a couple scenes better, but what the fuck is my first movie? As far as Michael Jai White goes, man, I've been a Michael Jai White fan for a long time, just as far as his martial arts skills. Michael is one of the smartest people you'll ever work with. Tells stories all day long, very charismatic, and very knowledgeable in many fighting systems. So, man, he's just a badass dude. But you're right, The Condemned. I got robbed that year for best actor and best film. Teddy, what's the best finish for Raw Pine? Like if someone's going to make a pool cue case or whatever, they're saying like i.e. wax or varnish, etc.
You remember those little jewelry boxes that I made?
Yep.
And I was making, and I'm still am making with a crazy wood. I like to stain them, and the finish that I like to use is a hand rub wax made by Minwax. You know, you rub it on, rub it off, that type of deal. And then I will take an orbital buffer and buff that wax off so it's not sticky, it's not tacky. Man, that finish, you're not going to scratch it, doesn't show fingerprints, easy to maintain, and it's not glossy, it doesn't shine. I hate wood that is real super shiny like that.
Okay, with that being said, and you're still making these boxes,
mm-hmm.
Why don't you make an eBay account and sell the motherfuckers on eBay?
Dude, why don't we go dove hunting tomorrow? Ain't got time for that shit. Dude, I'll tell you what. I'll throw some boxes up. We'll call them Broken Skull Jewelry Boxes. I'll cut you in for, I don't know, 30%.
We got to renegotiate.
Dude, that's fucking mailbox money. You're sitting there in Marina Del Rey going to the mailbox. Got another check from Teddy.
what are we going to sell these things for? $1,000 apiece?
The big ones.
Hey, Steve, how do you spend your time while recuperating from surgery during most of the year 2000? I drank like a goddamn fish. I drove to Sonic in my hard neck brace, almost choked to death on a jalapeno burger. I drank a lot of beer, and I just fiddle-fucked around. That's exactly what I did. Nothing much has changed.
Except the neck brace.
Yeah, I'm not rocking the neck brace anymore, but other than that. Hey, Steve, what were your thoughts when Vince announced the XFL? Also, what did you think of the product at the time? What do you think looking back? Man, I asked Vince why he wanted to compete against the NFL. And he said, man, Steve, I want to give people football the way that football should be given to them. He had a different vision of it, a different version of it. And many people have said, had not, they pulled the plug a year sooner than they were supposed to, maybe it would have made it. I don't know. I thought it was a real big gamble, a real big risk. It didn't pan out. But had he got that extra year, who knows what would have happened. I was a big fan of it. I just, you know, they didn't have quite the athletes that the NFL does, of course. But the product was what it was. They tried to bring, you know, football with a little bit more, a different spin to it, a little more titillation to it, you know, with the cheerleaders and stuff like that. Hey, looking back, you know, here's the thing I always give Vince McMahon credit for. He's got, you know, if he wants to try something, he ain't scared to try it. Ico Pro, bodybuilding, the WBF, XFL, you know, his calling card is pro wrestling, sports entertainment. That's what he's the best at. That's what he's the king at. He's tried some of these other things, and not so well at them. But goddamn, when it came to pro wrestling, sports entertainment, he knocked it out of the park and put everybody out of business. So, do you ever remember watching XFL?
I vaguely remember that. I mean, I'm not a huge football fan anyway, but yes, I do. I do remember, but I couldn't tell you, you know, how long it was on.
Man, here's a good question from Juan Mariscal. You send me a lot of questions, Juan. I see you on Twitter all the time. What's your advice for cutting social media usage? I'm pretty sure I'm addicted. First thing I do when I wake up and last thing I do before I go to bed is check Facebook. I also annoyingly check my phone constantly when I'm out to dinner with my girlfriend and or family and friends. I've known a couple of people who every time they do something, they got to post it on Facebook so that the whole world can see what the fuck they're doing. I've been out to my little sushi restaurant with my wife, Kristen. When I walk into a restaurant, I put my phone on silent, and when we sit down at the table, I turn it upside down so that I can't see it. If there's a chance that my wife may go to the bathroom, or if she has a call or something coming in because we're remodeling our house or whatever, and she picks up her phone, I'll check to see if I have any messages or I've missed any calls or whatever because I'm actually doing business. I'm not on my vacation out here at the Broken Skull Ranch. I can't stand when I see there's a couple at our sushi restaurant. It happens all the time. Hell, I don't know why the motherfuckers go to dinner together because the whole time he's typing on his iPhone or whatever gimmick phone and she's doing the same. And then the food comes and in between they eat. And if they got kids, the kids got iPads or whatever you call them and they're playing video games. And so it's a total clusterfuck. A lot of people are hung up on that social media bullshit. With Twitter, man, I try to read all my mentions. I don't read all the other stuff. I try to be as diligent as I can about it. Out here at the ranch, I've really been trying to work on Instagram. But on Twitter, I try to see what's going on. I gotta keep up with something that's going on in the world.
Right.
You just put that shit down, and you can't let it run. You can't let it rule or ruin your life. Goddamn, you ain't got to tell everybody what you do or post everything what you do or give a fuck what everybody else is doing. Some of these people, Teddy, I see how many texts or messages they've gotten. It's just like an ungodly number. I dig it. I'm into it. I use it. It's a tool, and I can stay in touch with people that I follow and people that follow me. But I do enough of it but I'm not addicted to it. Are you?
No, not at all. I mean, when I get up in the morning, I check and see, you know, what's going on now. During deer season, when I'm out here, it's different than, you know, when I'm back in Rockport. I mean, here we're posting, or I'm posting, you know, pictures of animals and sunset and, you know, snakes and shit like that to let everybody know, you know, what's going on out here and what we're dealing with. You know, but once I go back to Rockport, then it's just mainly, you know, after the work day. I mean, I don't screw around with that shit. I mean, I may post a picture or two if I'm at a job site, if something happens, like when I, you know, ran that screw through my shoe and, you know, the shit about the hard hat. But no, I'm not addicted to it. I'll check it at night. You know, I try to respond to people when they ask me questions, you know, legitimate questions about, you know, shit that goes on out here in construction. But I'm not addicted to it. But, dude, you know.
But that being said, social media has changed the lives of a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, correct.
These motherfuckers just walking down L.A. in any town, USA, with their face glued to the phone. They got to put something out there and get a response, instant validation. It's really strange. I like social media. But, man, and you want to stay on top of it because you're always, you know, spinning the next thing. Man, I take it for what it is. It's a tool, but
dude, here's the thing I don't get. And Kristen kind of halfway broke it down for me, but the selfies that people post, just, you know, one after another after another after another after another. I mean, you know, dude, I don't get that part. I mean, are you trying to get modeling gigs? If so, I would think you would be with an agency of some sort, or, you know, that relentless self-promotion is, dude, I don't get it.
Hey, man, but to me, if I was on the single scene, and all of a sudden, hey, man, I asked this girl to go out, and maybe we go out to eat, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting across from her table, and she's on her damn phone the whole goddamn time. What I'm thinking is, well, this is about the last time this shit's going to happen. And vice versa. I wouldn't be stupid enough to do this, but if I was to take my wife out, and I just sit there, and I'm on the phone the whole fucking time, boy, I tell you what, I'm going to hear about it later, or I'm disrespecting my wife, and it's just not polite and not proper etiquette, and so I don't do it.
Dude, separate checks, you know. You go out with a girl for, you know, a dinner, like me, you know, take a chick out, and she's fiddle fucking around on her phone the whole time. You know, Jesus, I'm out. Fuck it. I hope you're, you know, contacting Uber, because I'm out of here. Jesus.
All right, before we go any further, I need to say thank you to the sponsors who make it possible for me to open up two cans of Audio Whoop-Ass for you every single week for free. So thanks to Helix. Everyone on this great green earth is a unique individual. You don't walk like anyone else or talk like anyone else or even sleep like anyone else. So why is your mattress one size fits all? It doesn't have to be anymore, thanks to Helix. go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and they'll use their proprietary algorithm to run a 3D biomechanical model of your body to create the most comfortable mattress you've ever slept on. Helix worked with the world's leading sleep scientists to develop this formula so that everyone can get an affordable, customized mattress and enjoy the best sleep of their lives. Helix even customizes each side of the mattress for all you couples out there. And here's the best part. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love your custom mattress, Helix will pick it up for free and give you a full refund, no questions asked. So go to helix.com/podcast and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/podcast. helixsleep.com/podcast. Hey, man, let's answer this question. Old Jesse's got a dilemma on his hands. Hey, Steve, love the podcast and followed your career into your last match. Shout out to Ted Fowler, too. I was wanting to take up hunting sometime in the near future. I already fish with my fiance every year, and she loves it, but she is not too sure about having firearms around the house. I've used firearms before in my late teens and early 20s, but never owned one myself. So with that said, my question is how to ease her mind and convince her that we can have firearms safely in the house and be responsible gun owners so I can go hunting with friends. Thanks, Jesse.
Where does he live?
Well, I didn't say where he lived. But goddamn, Jesse, I mean, shit, all you got to do is, learn how to take a gun course, a firearm safety course or whatever, learn how to shoot, become proficient, teach your wife the same thing. Here's the thing. I got my wife a Christmas present this year. I got her a 357 Magnum, a wheel gun, and because she has a 9mm Glock semi-automatic, and I wanted to make, have some options for her. And so we go down to the gun range here at the Broken Skull Ranch. We have our own shooting range where we sight our guns in. So, she can become familiar and more proficient and safe with this gun because, automatic's one thing and, the wheel gun is something different. Hey, man, it's all about being safe and becoming, my wife, her biggest thing is when she's talking about those guns, she knows, hey, man, or anybody that knows guns.
Yeah.
When you have something that explodes inside a cylinder, and there's only one way for the bullet to exit, so it comes out very quickly, and I'm basically describing in caveman style a gun, and that's what propels the bullet, and that's power, and that's a projected, that's a projectile coming with force and speed, and if it hits you, something, not very good is going to happen. You got to be really careful with that stuff. We don't fuck around with no guns out here at the Broken Skull Ranch. We're very safe. But hey, man, it's all about, getting comfortable with it. Go buy you a pellet gun first and then move up to a 22 and then, or buy you a 22 pistol, but go to a shooting range, go to a gun range where you can rent some guns. The thing I hate about gun ranges, Teddy, I don't trust anybody there.
Or the person next to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he's having a bad day.
Dude, that, taking her to a gun range, I would do it with your wife. It's his wife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiance.
Fiance. I would go down there as a team, boy and girl, and take a concealed weapons class. That's the best hands-on approach to, proper handgun handling. And, dude, that'll ease her mind. Don't let her get active in it as well. Don't you take the class and then go back and go, okay, honey, I'm safe. I think you would stand a better chance of her approval if you got her involved and let her shoot some guns. I'm a big fan of handguns, and I'm a big fan of seeing, Kristen with a handgun and see her shooting more so she's more proficient with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I told her, hey, man, if somebody comes in, every time I tell her, the gun is in a particular location, start pulling the trigger, center mass.
Yeah.
But the more familiar you are with that gun, the better you feel with it, the more comfortable you are. Enough about guns. Let's move on. This dude named Julian Wicks sent in a shit pile of questions. Let's see how many we can get through.
All right.
Hi, Steve and Ted. Let me start by wishing everyone all the best for 2017. I'm about to drop some 411 on you. Hell, the information you are about to get may even help Ted get some fluff. Here we go. After the clusterfuck lesson about your American history, we need some local facts to put into your show. Local, for me at least. Here's 10 facts, Australian style. 1, we eat our national emblem, kangaroo and emu.
The emu's a big old fucking bird.
It's just like an ostrich.
Yeah.
The kangaroo and the emu can't walk backwards. That's why they're on our coat of arms. 3. None of our native animals have hoofs. 4. The dingo fence is the longest fence in the world. 3,488 miles long. I'd hate to patch that motherfucker. There, 5. There's a stretch of railway track which is dead straight for 297 miles out to the Nullarbor Plain between Perth and Adelaide. 6. In 1979, debris from the NASA Skylab crashed down in a town in Western Australia. The town fined NASA $400 for littering. You're killing me, Jillian. You're fucking killing me. If I ain't won any awards yet, this is not helping me get there. But I'm going to keep going. 80% of the Australian population live within 40 miles from the coastline. 8. A man named Bob Hawke set a world record by drinking 2.5 pints of beer in 11 seconds. He later became prime minister of our country. 9. Saudi Arabia imports camels from Australia. 10. The box jellyfish has killed more people in Australia than by stonefish, crocodile, and shark combined. Now, let's talk about the box jellyfish. That must be one deadly, lethal motherfucker to have killed more people in Australia than the stonefish, the crocodile, and the shark combined. I don't know what a stonefish is. Have you ever heard of a stonefish?
No, I have not.
Is it a fish that is stoned?
It sounds like a killer.
Okay, 11. Our biggest cattle station is Anna Creek Station. It's 6 million acres, 9,400 square miles, and valuable. Tools to them are light plane and motorbike.
Dude, how many acres?
6 million acres.
6 million. Boy, that'd be a big fucking lease, wouldn't it?
9,400 square miles. Well, those are some interesting facts, Julian.
Yeah, we're going to go take a lap. I'll see you next Thursday.
Stacy, if those make the show, it's entirely on your shoulders. I got one more. We've got one more question for this illustrious podcast.
All right.
Hey, Steve, lifelong fan down here submitting a question. I listen to every episode. My question is, I'm new to the hunting world, and I'm down here in Slidell, Louisiana. We're big on duck hunting down here. I've never heard you or Ted talk about duck hunting. Are you and Ted into duck hunting? And if so, what's your favorite way to prepare duck for dinner? Corey Johnson, Slidell, Louisiana. I know where Slidell is, right outside of New Orleans. I don't hunt no ducks, but I got a duck recipe for you. I'll let Teddy go ahead and answer this because he's the bird man.
Well, you know what? I love to hunt ducks. Having a lab, living down there on the coast, once we close out our deer quota, then I can start, you know, working on birds. And we've got a boatload of ducks out here. A couple of them, you know, may go the way of the dinosaur before it's all over. But I love to, you know, duck hunt down there on the coast with my buddies. I don't know about your duck recipe. We take olive oil, a little garlic, a little rosemary, you know, salt, pepper, stuff like that, and fillet the duck meat off of the breast and cut it almost like fajita style, you know what I mean, real thin, and then just lightly pan sear it so it's you know, super rare. And then, you know, that's the way we eat it, with a boatload of potatoes.
That sounds like it might be half-assed good, but my old buddy used to have a duck recipe. He used to always tell me, Steve, you get a duck, stuff it with shit, and cook it for about 45 minutes at 350 degrees, pull it out of the oven, take out the shit, throw away the duck. Ducks are not the best eating animals in the world.
I will be the first to tell you there's a lot of searching goes on before a duck hunt to find some willing recipients of, you know, said flying, you know, rats. Yeah, no, dude, if I lobby long and hard to find people that want the ducks, because that is some of the worst shit you've ever eaten. Duck meat.
Went out with someone a couple of months ago, might have been a year ago. I've been hitting him with so many steel chairs, I can't remember. But the Peking duck here is wonderful. Oh, really? Well, go ahead and order that motherfucker, because I'm going to go get a cheeseburger. You ain't fooling me with that shit. A Peking duck is great here. it ain't been great in nowhere else I ever been, so why would it be great here?
Dude, I was on a hunt in Thomasville, Georgia, and we were down there deer hunting, and the guy that was running the operation says, hey, you guys want to take a break and go on a duck hunt with us? And I hadn't hunted many ducks at all, and we were hunting ringnecks or bluebills down there. And I said, yeah, man, I want to go. And so they got us out in like these little canoes or pirogues or whatever they had us in. And, you know, it was a real deal lodge. And you got to go with a guide. And that dude, I didn't know fuck all about duck hunting. I mean, I knew they were up in the sky and that's where you, you know, aim the gun. We pull into this little makeshift blind in this goddamn canoe. The guy is standing up in the front of it and he starts going, prrrr, prrrr, prrrr. And I'm sitting in the back, my big ass. I'm looking at this going, fuck, where's the camera? I mean, this is a rib, right? I mean, is this guy really doing this shit? Because I'm thinking, you know, like you see on TV, get you, you know, a call, quack, 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 do your shit. He's doing it by mouth, you know, prrr, prrr, prrr. And he's like, dude, you going to stand up and shoot? And I'm going, you know, fuck, as big as I am, standing up in this canoe with this guy. So I do stand up, and we shoot, you know, a bunch of ringnecks, not, you know, not any more than our limit, obviously. And it, dude, it's a private pond. There's got to be 7 or 8 groups of hunters. So we all go back. They take the ducks, you know, because it's a commercial setup. They take the ducks away and they're going to feed us. So we walk in there. And I mean, this is Thomasville, Georgia, the South. You know, you got grits, scrambled eggs, and they got this stuff called duck pie, right? And you get yourself a good wad of mashed potatoes, and they spoon up this shit that looks like fucking gruel. I mean, it's like gray with string, you know, like horseshoe potatoes in it. And that's a fucking duck pie, you know, where they slap it down on your plate and you kind of, you know, do that smoking bandit, wipe it off of your eye like, ugh. You know, dude, you started eating that shit and it literally grew in your mouth. I mean, it got bigger as you chewed on it. And those guys were sawing through it like it was a Last Supper. And I'm going, God damn, this stuff is dog shit. You know? Yeah. So that was my first try with ducks, and it's been downhill ever since.
Goddamn Thomasville, Georgia. Don't they make a lot of furniture out of there?
Yeah, they have the longleaf pine. They also harvest all those pine trees for the telephone poles.
God damn it. Yeah, man, I'm not a big fan of the duck.
No, no.
I like to watch them on the water. All of our ponds right now are so full. I mean, I have the front lake over here, the duck pond, which is because all the ducks are over there.
Right.
But there's so much water out there. All the tanks are so full. Man, I like looking at them on the water, but I ain't got no interest in shooting none of them. I don't want to eat none of them. So I'm not going to fuck with them.
I like to look at them on the wall.
Hey, tell me, Teddy, could you do that duck call one more time?
Which one? The... or the...
Yeah, that was a good one. I'm trying to look at the yellow piece of paper. My wife... Oh, no, she sent it to me on my iPhone. I was just getting ready to come over to Teddy's to cut this award-winning podcast, which ain't going to win shit. I don't care. All right, I was just fixing to get some current events before I wrapped up this podcast, and as I had the pause button, Teddy said he had another great hunting story for me. Whoa. What the fuck happened? All I got was a punchline.
A group of guys, local guides, and people that run the sporting goods store there in Rockport, every year they ramrod this big snow goose hunt in El Campo. You know, the El Campo KD area where all the rice
fields are. In El Campo, we drove right through the other day on our trip to UV country. It's off Highway 59. It's not too far from Edna, where I grew up, and Wharton County Junior College, where I went to school at.
And so, you know, it's a guided hunt. Everybody pays their vig. We get up there in the dark of night. You know, El Campo's 2 hours from Rockport. And we're going to snow goose in this, you know, semi-flooded rice field. So they give you basically a white rain slicker, like lab coat. You put out hundreds of garbage bag decoys, you know, just white trash bags on a stake. So we're running around doing all that stuff. Well, it starts to get light. You're laying down on your back in the, you know, half-ass mud. And the guy,
rice fields in El Campo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the guide says, you know, they'll start flying through here shortly, and we're all in line, got our little horseshoe, so, you know, the geese are going to, you know, funnel right in there. It's going to be a killer. Start seeing these snow geese, and this goddamn guide, he doesn't have a mouth-blown call like a traditional, you know, honk, you know, goose call like that.
How they do it?
That's the lesser Canadian. This son of a bitch, he starts going, Alec, Alec, Alec. And I'm looking at him like, what in the fuck?
Was he calling for Alec Trebek?
I was like, God damn, what a low-end operation. This motherfucker, and you can use an electronic call, you know, for snow geese. You can use, you know, like the predator call thing. You just hit the play button, and that motherfucker, you know, boats are quality. This fucking guy is over there, Alec, Alec, Alec.
So yeah. What did the geese do when he started yelling for Alec?
They're dumber than fuck because they're coming into a field full of garbage bags anyway. So
I don't, Alec, yeah. Alec, Alec, yeah. If you used my tone of voice, would have worked as good as the tone you used?
I think the guy could have been saying, Fred, 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 fucking snows would have come in. Oh, dude, we shot a pickup truck bed full of those fucking snow geese, drove back to Rockport, and man, we were almost going door to door trying to give those things away. That's one of those deals where, you know, perhaps we should have thought ahead of time that a snow goose is just a magnified duck. You know, that ain't the old ribeye of the sky going to be laying there in the field, and we're going to be snacking on this, you know, for days. No, dude, it's geese are twice as bad as duck when it comes to culinary fare.
Just let the motherfuckers migrate south. That's all they're trying to do.
But they're eating all the rice in the process, so you got to get Alec out there.
Let me see if I can do that. Alec, Alec, Alec. I got to work on my fucking snow geese call.
You can do that on the flight back.
That's my New Year's resolution, to work on my snow goose call. Hey, I thought I'm going to have a shitload of people send in questions or New Year's resolutions. I didn't hammer the point hard enough on the tweet I sent out. You got any New Year's
I'm not going snow goose hunting with those guys. That's one resolution.
You got any New Year's resolutions? I mean, I'm talking about no bullshit to, like, get back in shape. I'm talking about, like, get more trim of, and you know, stop drinking so much whiskey.
No, dude, neither. No. Yes to the get more trim. No to the drinking less whiskey. No, dude, I have no New Year's resolutions. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing.
So you don't have any goals for 2017?
Make as much money as I can. Have as much fun as I can. Get laid as much as I can. Fish as much as I can. Golf, you know, just bullshit like that. You know, just, dude, no, just stay out of trouble and have fun.
Ain't getting no younger.
Fuck, if I haven't done it by now, you know, what?
Dude, it's like that old George Strait song a couple years ago. I ain't here for a long time. I'm here,
for a good time. That's yeah, everything that motto,
but everything in moderation.
Everything that I have wanted to do, fuck it, I'm going for. Now, I haven't wanted to jump out of a plane, do any parachuting, none of that bullshit. I want to travel to hunt more. I'd like to get drawn in Nevada. If people in, you know, the state of Nevada would allow me a fucking tag, I could go there and hunt. No, dude, I just want to play more and have fun.
Tell me about jumping out of a perfectly fine airplane with a trash bag on your back, a parachute.
No, dude, I don't want to do that.
A lot of people go out there and do that, or they'll do the tandem jump with the instructor or whatever. That doesn't interest me any at all.
You know what? I mean, everybody's adrenaline junkies. In some context, that doesn't appeal to me. You know, well, I mean, I like
one
to,
goddamn bit. You know, I like hurling to, forward towards the earth, gravity, pulling your ass down. Hey, motherfucker, get down here.
Yeah. No, I like to drive fast. You know, that's my deal. You know, like on your four wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, during summertime, kick that thing in the ass and go ripping down the Mason-Dixon. Hope to Christ a deer or a hog doesn't come running out.
But you got to watch that Mason-Dixon because I think he's got a couple of damn, the ruts in the road there.
Yeah.
Whether if you could be in a mule and just kind of hit that thing and mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, wish you around. So you got to be careful with that goddamn four-wheeler.
No, dude, but I mean, jumping out of a plane for the adrenaline rush, I see nothing good coming out of that. You know, but I like to go fast, whether it's, you know, on a boat or on dry land.
Are you going to lower your prices 2017 for construction?
No.
Jesus Christ.
I'd like to retire sometime. don't want to be doing this bullshit when I'm 80 years old. Show up, you know, I'm here to change out your front door. You don't mind if I take a nap here in about 30 minutes? And I've had 4 cups of coffee, so I'm going to need to, you know, use your bathroom too.
If you are still doing this at 80, I mean, that you might need to resort to uppers, amphetamines. It's the only time I'd ever recommend them. You got to pay the bills, but you're too tired. Dude, straight up, I'm fucking with you. God damn it. It's the last podcast coming from the Broken Skull Ranch. I'm about ready to go over to my side of the crib and hit the hay. It's going to be a long day tomorrow. I'm heading into Beeville to pick up my deer meat from my nephew, Neil. Teddy, any parting words from the first Unleashed show of 2017?
No, man, I'm not far behind you. I'm going to, well, I still got to cook dinner. You know, cook dinner.
What's going to cook?
I'll probably thaw out some of those fish, cook some of those trout. I got dog food. I ain't got to feed my dogs fish. So they're eating dog food. I'm eating the fish. Yeah. No, dude, but just, you know, hit the rack early. I got a big day tomorrow filling feeders and, you know, take down the pop-up blinds and the steaks and, you know, start cleaning stuff up.
When I get back, I'll tell you when I get off the podcast. All right, everybody, give me the go-home cue. It's time to wrap up this podcast and ride off into the sunset. But before I do, let me give you a little heads up. ProWrestlingTees.com/Steve Austin has a bunch of new T-shirts, all the ones I wore on the new season of Broken Skull Challenge. And the new season is coming to a conclusion. Still got a couple of badass episodes on CMT, Sunday night, 10, 9 Central. Do not miss the final 2 episodes. And also, My Damn Beer, an IPA, Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company, is available in Whole Foods and Total Wines in California. And if you don't live here in California, check InsideTheCellar.com and see if they ship to your state. Hey, I appreciate you guys supporting the sponsors of the Steve Austin Podcast. They're the ones who let me do this for you free twice a week. So big thanks to Nature Box. Get 50% off your first order at naturebox.com/Austin. To DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Austin to get 25% off all DDPY DVDs and related merch. To Helix, go to helix.com/podcast to get $50 off your first mattress order. To Nature Box, go to naturebox.com/Austin for 50% off your first order. To Loot Crate, order your WWE Slam Crate at lootcrate.com/unleashed and use the promo code UNLEASHED to save $3. And, of course, to Amazon, who have been supporting this podcast since day one. And Amazon is the best place to get the cold steel Broken Skull knife. Just $75 from the most badass pocket knife on the planet. And if you order the cold steel Broken Skull knife through my Amazon links, Amazon will kick back a couple of bucks to the podcast. Never costs you anything extra. No hidden fees, no charges. Buy whatever you plan on buying and help out the podcast in the process. And you can find my Amazon links by going to podcast1.com, clicking on the Killer Deals button in the top right corner of the page, and then hitting the Steve Austin Show button. I got Amazon links for USA, UK, and Canada. And if you bookmark it, you can get there in one click. Hey, folks, keep listening. The 60-second AP News headlines are coming up next. Until then, my name is Steve motherfucking Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.